Y'all now? All right. Sometimes it's on, sometimes it's not. All right. So the baptisms, it's always a time of joy and celebration, so try to come and celebrate with us. It's a moving moment. I mean, it just does something to your faith to see people get baptized. It's an act of obedience to what God's Word says to fulfill the plan and purpose in your life. So, how about anybody been getting their exercise in? Did you guys get your miles in this week? Yeah. Y'all don't look real excited. I tell you, we're going to have to keep exercising, aren't we? Really? Because that atrophy, right? Sets in, you waste away. It's important to get up and move, right? We gotta do something. Seriously. I ran 10 miles yesterday, and it was just a beautiful morning. It wasn't any sun, but it was kind of cool. But I just love this time of year. I love the fall, and the smell of the leaves, and drinking apple cider. And did you run that race, the Mum Run? You ran the Mum Run? My friend Tom said he was going to run the Mum Run. This is what he said now. He said, yeah, I was going to run. When we met, he says, I was going to run the Mum Run. I went over there, and he goes, it was too quiet for me. He goes, there's all these people. He goes, it was just real quiet, nobody talking. I said, what? He goes, yeah, the Mum Run. He goes, Mum was the word. I said, okay. So, you know how we kind of joke around, but it's funny. But, we got to keep moving, right? Because if we're going to fulfill His plan and purpose, we got to take care of these bodies. Seriously. And, you know, you wouldn't believe the people that have started exercising and doing things just by hearing some of this. But, you know, really, I mean seriously, if you don't do something, you start to deteriorate. So whatever you can, you know, get up there and do it. All right, because we're made up of what? Three parts, right? Body, soul, and spirit. And those all have to be integrated to fulfill the call in your life. Okay. We have been looking at this idea of prayer and humility. And this thing about prayer is so important because the people go to church all over America, but they're not praying. And we have to get a real revelation of this idea of prayer and how important it is. Because if we're going to establish the kingdom of God here, we're going to have to understand that it's going to be done through prayer. Not just the word. We're going to have to understand that as we pray, we can bring heaven's idea and principles to earth. Because folks, listen to me. What's going on in America right now, the world system, is failing. I mean, watch the news, right? And if you're dependent on that system, you are going to be let down tremendously. I'm just here to tell you are going to be let down in a big way. A believer's needs are met through the kingdom of God, not the government of the United States. You are a citizen of heaven. Your citizenship is in heaven, not here now. Right? And that's what we have to grow in our understanding. That's why Jesus said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so if we're going to really get a hold of this and advance God's kingdom and fulfill His plan and purpose in our life, we got to understand it's going to be through prayer and His Word, according to His Word. So that's what we're trying to do. And religion won't get it. Religion is empty. Religion has no power. It has no power. And that's what people are tired of, is religion. That's why young people don't want to go to church, because of religious people. People judging people and criticizing what they wear, what they look like, where they came from, or, you know, that kind of stuff right there. That's why young people don't want to go to church. Well, that's religion. And that's what, we got to get it out. And we got to be in the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God never judges and criticizes and condemns people. The kingdom of God is going to extend grace and power. And that's what we want to be in. We want to be in the kingdom of God. Advancing, the kingdom of God is here now, right? It's in the hearts of men. And that's where it is. It's in the hearts of men. Jesus said, the kingdom of God doesn't come by observation. It's not here or there. It's within us. The kingdom of God is within you. And it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. In the Holy Spirit. So if you have the Holy Spirit, it's in you. You see, if you've been born again, it's in you. So that's what we got to get. We got to get the kingdom of God coming out of us and get it established in our lives and moving and advancing one by one, taking over. Right? Does this make sense? And it's going to happen through prayer. Okay, go with me to James chapter 1. Or chapter 4, I'm sorry. And we're going to look at one of our foundational scriptures. This has to do with prayer. Verse 8. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Say that with me. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. That's pretty strong, isn't it? You know what? You're going to have to draw near to God in order to deal with your sin and your double-mindedness. Because it's easy to be double-minded. God wants us to be single-minded. He wants our mind on Him, doesn't He? Let's pray. Father, we thank You. Thank You for this day. We thank You for this place. We thank You for Your presence. Lord, we ask for revelation, knowledge, and understanding this morning of the kingdom of God and what You are calling us to, Lord. Lord, let none of us remain the same. Help us to renew our minds, Lord, to what You've called us to. Father, we thank You for it, and we're going to trust You forever. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, amen. You may be seated. Okay, we have been looking at this idea of intercession. And last week we talked, intercession is a way to pray, to intercede. And in Hebrews 7:25, it says Jesus is our intercessor. You don't need to go there. But it says He's our intercessor and He prays for us. But now look, He's our intercessor, but the intercession is already complete. All right? Everything that we're looking for is already done and complete. We have to intercede with Jesus to get it out of heaven here on earth. You see that? We have to go to God and intercede. Because when Adam fell, all right, he didn't fall from heaven. He fell from the authority that God had established. Okay? He fell from the authority. That's why it says that God has given us dominion over the birds of the air, the fish of the sea, right? The plant, all that we were to rule over. We lost that when Adam fell, when he disobeyed God. You see that? The authority went into Satan's hands at that time. Satan has the authority over the world system. The word world is cosmos, remember? And it's the world system. And that's why we don't want to be a part and connected to that system. That's why it says, do not love the world. See? That's talking about the system. We're not dependent on that system. And if you are, you're going to be majorly let down. But when you're dependent on the kingdom of God, and that's moving in your life, you're going to see power in your life. See, Adam was supposed to represent God on earth, managing and governing and ruling the earth. God told Adam he wanted Adam as the go-between for God. In other words, he was the mediator. But now, Jesus is the mediator. The last Adam, the Bible says. The Bible calls Jesus the last Adam. He is the mediator. Now, we go to God through Jesus, because Jesus is our go-between. But God needed a man, and God needs you and I to establish his kingdom here on earth. He can't just do it because he can't do it legally, because it has to be done legally. You hear that? Because of the sin that took place. Now, Adam was God's intercessor and mediator on earth, ruling and governing the garden. That's what he was doing. And that's what we are looking for. Everyone in this room is looking for power. You came here because if you get to the bottom of it, you are looking for power. You are looking for understanding and how you can rule over your circumstances, over your finances, over the problems in your marriage, over the problems you face with others. You are looking for power in your life. And I'm telling you what, religion has no power. It's the kingdom of God that has the power. And when you have that power, it's going to begin to come out of your, and you're going to start to see. Because listen, folks, we all want power. Am I right about that? You all want power. I want power. Never to rule and control people. But you know what? When we don't understand the kingdom of God, that's what we'll do. We try to control people. You see that? That's why people get divorced. That's why people don't understand. That's why people end up in financial bank. All that is because they're trying to control it. And they're not bringing the kingdom of God out and letting that rule in your life. You see that? Jesus said in Matthew chapter 4, he said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent means change your mind. Change the way you think towards heaven. In other words, the way you think towards heaven has got to change. If we're going to bring heaven to earth, we got to change the way we think. And that's the whole idea. The kingdom of God is at hand, and it's within us. And this church and the church is going to have to grow in this understanding of prayer and establishing God's kingdom. Everybody say kingdom.
Kingdom.
All right. Now, go with me to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. We're going to look at verse 12 and 13. Remember, God needs you and I, because the kingdom of God is in us. If we're going to advance the kingdom, it's got to come out of us. Right? It's got to come out of us. Okay. Now, Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, and long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving. Everybody say forgiving. One another. If anyone has a complaint against a brother, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. So folks, you and I are called to bear one another's burdens. Did you know that? We're called to pray for each other. You know what? You and I have the ability, if we will pray for somebody, to literally lift stuff off people. Think about that. That's power, isn't it? If you and I have that ability, and we can pray the kingdom of God and pray and lift stuff off, burdens and off of people, because we are praying. That's power. Now, think about this. Bearing with one another and forgiving one another. Now, in Matthew 16, it talks about this. Jesus said that the gates of hell would not prevail against the church, right? And then he said that he has given us the keys of the kingdom in Matthew 16. The keys of the kingdom. Now just stay where you're at, and I'm making a point here. He's given us the keys of the kingdom. And then he says, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you bind in heaven will be bound on earth. Whatever you loose will be loosed. Now, that word bind means to lock. And the word loose means to unlock. The word bind in the Greek language means to lock. And the word loose means to unlock. So he's given us the keys of the kingdom. How many of you have ever had keys and you have a key on your key ring and you don't know what it goes to? You know, that can be frustrating. You don't have any idea what it goes to. Well, you know what? That's what religion is. Jesus said, you know the scriptures, but you don't know the secrets of the kingdom to the Pharisees and the Sadducees. In other words, you can know the scriptures, you have all the keys, but you don't know what they go to. That's the way it is. Now, he says, he's given us the keys of the kingdom. One of the keys of the kingdom is forgiveness. It's forgiveness. And if you forgive, folks, you can get through to heaven to bring heaven on earth. But if you have unforgiveness in you, your keys are hitting steel doors. And your prayers are bouncing off. They're not getting through. Because they will not get through if you have unforgiveness in your heart towards anyone. Does this make sense? That's why it's so important that we understand the keys of the kingdom. And one of the keys is forgiveness. If you want a prayer life that's going to be healthy and gets through, you're going to have to understand that one of my keys is forgiveness. And if you have unforgiveness towards anyone, you need to deal with that now. Not tomorrow, now. If you want God to hear your prayers. Does this make sense? And that's why it's so important that we grow in our understanding of this idea of prayer. Because a lot of people run around with unforgiveness in their heart, and they wonder why their lives, and they're going to church, but they're wondering why their lives are such a wreck. Because a lot of it is because nothing's getting through. Making sense? Now, so we're called to bear with one another and bear one another's burdens. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 4 real quick. Ephesians chapter 4. And verse 2. With all lowliness and gentleness. Lowliness is humility. Some of yours might say humility. With all lowliness and gentleness, and with long suffering, what? Bearing with one another in love. Bearing with one another in love. Folks, we got to be able to bear some stuff with one another. Put up with stuff from one another, right? People, we're all going through things, right? So we got to be able to put up with some stuff while you're getting through it. And the idea is to not point the finger and get upset and say, you know, negative things, but to pray for the person. Come on now. Bearing with one another in love. See, in love. If you're in love, the love of God, then you don't have forgiveness. You don't have unforgiveness in you. Because unforgiveness can't abide in love. You see that? Unforgiveness can't hang out in the love of God. So that's why we're called to bear one another's burdens, bearing with one another in love, the love of God. Okay? In the love of God. Now, go with me to Galatians chapter 6 real quick. No, actually, go with me to Romans 15. And then we'll go to Galatians. Romans 15. And we're going to look at verses 1 through 3. We then, who are strong, ought to bear with the scruples of the weak. With the scruples of the weak. And not to please who? Ourselves. See, a lot of times when we're not praying, we just get into selfishness. We get into selfishness. And we're focused on our problems. You see that? To bear with the scruples of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. Leading to edification. In other words, we're to be concerned with our neighbor in such a way that it leads, and pray for them and bear with them in such a way that it leads them to edification. The word edification means to rebuild, restore, and remodel. Remodel, restore, and rebuild what? Back to the kingdom of God, to the authority, to all that God created that person for. You see that? To edify them. That's what we're to do. And as we're bearing with them and helping them and praying for them, it's bringing them back. It's building them back up to get them back to what God originally created them for. Make sense? Come on, help me out. Because we're to build people. See, that's our vision, to build a people who are established in God's word. That's our vision here. And that's what we want to do. We want to build people and bear with them and help them and pray with them and get them to that place that God has called and created them for. Now, think about this. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. Now listen. See, he didn't live to please himself. He lived to please God and others, right? And you know what, folks? That's we're to be like Christ. You see that? And that's the way we're to be with each other. See, religion doesn't work like that. Religion thinks there's a bunch of rules and you can smell religion. You know, you can walk. Well, you can smell it. Can anybody ever been anywhere, man? I can't wait to get out of here. Huh? You can feel it. It has no real grace in it. It's just judging and trying to see where you're wrong. See, that's off, isn't it? When we are willing to pray for people and pray for one another and bear their burden and help them along, folks, that's the call of God on our life. And that's why there's so much going on. But I'm telling you what, we are in a new day, And there's a shift taking place in the church. And the kingdom of God is going forth. And this is the only way we're going to advance it. If we're not praying for one another and helping, it's not going to, we're going to end up being religious. You see that? And I tell you what, I don't want to be religious. I'm not about religion. Jesus hated religion. He hated it. The only ones he said woe to you, and when Jesus said woe, you better look out, was to the religious people. That was the only ones he said woe to. Woe! He said it to the religious folks. And that, you know what? We want to stay away from religion, and we want to keep in relationship and continue in relationship with each other. That's what's important, and that's what advances the kingdom. Now look at this, Galatians 6:2, real quick. I got to speed it up here. Galatians 6, verse 2. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Now, this Greek word for bear is the word batazo, B-A-S-T-A-Z-O, and it's synonymous with the Hebrew word nasa, which means this, to carry away or to lift off. To carry away or to lift off. That's what you do when you pray and you help bear one another's burdens. You're helping them to carry away those things that have been weighing them down and to lift them off of people. How many times do we get so focused on what our little deal is and our financial, our problems, and we're just so consumed with that, right? Folks, listen, when we start praying for one another and the kingdom of God, now power is going to come through you and out of you when you really get concerned for other people. Does this make sense? I'm here to tell you. This is where we're missing it. And this is where the church has to get it. And you know, it's really where churches are healthy, this is taking place. Where people are really coming out and being set free and really getting rid of negative patterns in their life, this is taking place. Because we need each other, right? That's how we're saved. We're not just saved because of God's grace. It's God's grace working through us as well to help people be saved, right? Remember, the word saved means to be made whole from many scattered parts. You're going to be made whole from a life that's been scattered. You see that? And the word lost means to be in alignment and to be out in... The word lost means to be out of alignment and out of position. That's why Jesus said he came to seek and save the lost. Those who are out of alignment with God. The word righteousness means to be in right alignment with God. That's what the word righteousness means, to be in right alignment with God and his authority. That's what righteousness means. And so that's the call of God, is get us back into alignment with God. And when we are, now we've got our authority and we have control over our own lives, self-control, and the circumstances to a degree. Are you with me? Doesn't this make sense? Okay, now think about this. To carry our way or to lift off. Okay, we are not to redo what Christ did. We are representing what Christ has already done on earth when we pray for other people and lift burdens off of them. Remember when Jesus came up and the man was at the pool and he had been there for all those years? Nothing ever happened. That's because he was surrounded by religious folks. He came in, spoke the word, and the kingdom of God was released. And he ended up walking away and made well. Are you with me? That's because he brought the kingdom of God and not religion. Religion will keep you bound and keep you from being free and from being all that God created you to be. Now, we can intercede for others, right? Now, Jeremiah 8:22 says that Jesus is the balm of Gilead, but we are to apply that healing salve, us, right? Because we're representing Christ on earth. The healing's going to come through us. His healing through us. You see that? As we pray for others. He is the fountain of life in Jeremiah 2:13 and Jeremiah 17:13. But we are the dispensers of the living water. We are the dispensers of the living water. His living water will flow through us. That's why Jesus said, "Let him who thirsts come to me and drink. For he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow," out of his what? Out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. See, out of you will come living water to quench people's thirsty souls that were dry and dead and trying to look for life. You're going to bring life to them because it's flowing through you. Do you see that? It will flow through you. And that's the kingdom of God. Now, okay. In 2 Corinthians 3:6, it says that he also made us, all of us, sufficient as ministers of the new covenant. We are all ministers of the new covenant. And the new covenant, everything in the New Testament is wrapped up in the new covenant. And that's it. Now think about this. When I was a kid, I remember going to this gravel pit and it said, no dumping allowed, trespassers will be violated. And I remember that. But we always snuck in and go swimming and carrying on, you know, fishing. But the idea was we were trespassing. So I kind of seen that sign or think about that sign. And I think no dumping allowed, Satan, and no trespassers will be violated. That's the way we need to see ourselves. You see that? Don't let him dump his mess in your life. And he's going to be violated if he tries to mess with you, right? In Joshua 19, all right, the word intercession is used several times, and it describes the dimensions or the boundaries that Joshua used. Joshua was the one who possessed the promised land and all that God created him for. Joshua got it and possessed it. Several ways this word intercession is translated, and it means to include, to reach out, to be bordered, or boundary. Boundary. Now think about this. Intercession is translated in the Hebrew language as the word boundary. Parameters of protection are linked to prayer. When you intercede for others, you can bring boundaries of protection over and around their life. You see this. When you intercede for others, you have the ability, not you, but the God's, it's coming through you because you're touching heaven and you're bringing the kingdom of God and you're bringing that protection around your family, around brothers and sisters. You see that? Boundaries. Now, we can build boundaries of protection around ourselves and others through intercession. Many Christians think that protection from accidents, destruction, satanic attacks, and assaults is automatic because they're Christians. No. Just because you're a Christian doesn't mean doesn't mean bad things aren't going to happen to you. But some people have that idea that's the way it is. Now think about this. Because of God's sovereignty. They think God is sovereign, he's going to protect me, and, you know, that's the way it is. My God will protect me. When he wants they have this idea too that when he wants to, he'll protect us from the things he does. When he chooses not to, he allows them to happen. That's not the way it is. God is not directly in control of everything. Did you hear that? God is not directly in control of everything. Satan has authority. Satan is called the god of this age in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4 through 7. He's the god of this age. That word age means world, this cosmos, this system. God needs you and I to bring authority, to bring that to the earth. He needs you and I to be tapping into heaven and bringing the power and the principles of heaven here on earth as we pray and obey. Now think about this. God is not directly in control of everything that takes place on earth. It can be seen in the simple facts. Now listen, in the simple facts, he would never decide a person's a person to be raped or to be abused. That would never be his decision. Am I going to let that person be raped or abused? He wouldn't do that. He would never desire the innocent to suffer. He would never will murder, pillage, or racial genocide. Never. Because he's not that kind of God. That's because he's not in control of everything on earth. Am I making sense? He needs you and I to bring that. And as we are petitioning God and praying, we bring that authority. It comes through us, one by one. The church. We are the ecclesia, the government of God. We are to establish his government here on earth. There are basic laws of sowing and reaping, cause and effect. Individual responsibility and free will are not negated when we come to Christ. All promises of God are attached to conditions. All the promises of God are attached to conditions. Right here, the Constitution. This is our Constitution right here. Governing principles, most, if not all, of these conditions involves responsibility on your part. Did you hear that? Governing principles, most, if not all, of these conditions involves responsibility on our part. Protection is no exception. Most are offended if anything is taught implying that a failure to receive protection, provision, healing, and an answer to prayer or anything else from God could be our fault. Want me to read that again? Most are offended if anything is taught implying that a failure to receive protection, provision, healing, an answer to prayer, or anything else from God could be our fault. A lot of times it is our fault. Sometimes things happen that's not our fault. You see that? It's how we respond to it. How we respond to it. Now, the Bible says if we believe and do not doubt or waver, we will receive. Receive means to rehab. We will have what Jesus has already established. We will receive it. If we believe and do not doubt or waver, we will receive. Matthew 17:20, Matthew 21:21, Mark 11:22-24, James 1:6-7. Isaiah 1:19 says, if you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. 80% of Christians don't tithe. Their lack of provision is their own fault. Because God has established the tithe for your financial health and well-being. And by not tithing, you're allowing the enemy to come in. It says you are cursed with a curse. Cursed with a curse when you don't tithe. And that's where he says, try me in this. Malachi chapter 3. Try me in this. Folks, I'm going to tell you, not just for a couple weeks. You need to continue in this and watch him work. Watch him work. But people wonder, financial problems is the number one problem in the church. We get more calls for people needing money in this church than anything else. Don't we, Peggy? And the idea is, if we understood the principle of tithing, it's a kingdom principle. It's for our protection financially. All right. Y'all still love me? Often we eat poorly, we don't exercise, and abuse our bodies in other ways. And we don't, you know what? And then we get sick and we wonder why. And then we want God to heal us. Huh? That's like simple math, isn't it? Often we eat poorly, we don't exercise, and abuse our bodies in other ways, and we get sick. And we wonder why. We poorly train our children, and if someone suggests that they are the rebellion they have is your fault, and it's learned behavior, you get upset. Because child rebellion is learned behavior. It's learned behavior. But if you have the kingdom of God coming out of you, it's going to get on to them. You see that? It will get on your children. I'm telling you, folks. The scriptures teaches this. In Psalms 91, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. Dwell, you know what that's talking about? And that means that you have a secret place you meet with God, and you have a prayer life. You have a prayer life, and you are tapping into heaven. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. For surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you under his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. You shall take refuge under his wings. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day. 10,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 by your feet, but it shall not come near you. It shall not come near you, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. To keep you. That word keep means guard, shield, and protect. He's going to release his angels over and around you when you have a dwelling place with God. And a prayer life. Am I making sense? Now, we have this misconception that we're the army of the Lord. We're not the army of the Lord. The army of the Lord is the angels. He's the Lord of hosts, Lord of the army. He's the one that sends the angels. The angels are the army of the Lord, not us. In a kingdom, you have citizens and you have an army. In a kingdom, okay, in America, we are citizens, right? We're American citizens. The army is over there fighting in Iraq while we watch TV and eat popcorn. Am I right about it? When you enlist in the army, you are no longer a citizen, a civilian, right? You are a soldier. And that's the same way it is in the spiritual realm. When you're in the kingdom of God, you call angels and they begin to go working for you. And you release them over whatever you want in your life. Am I making sense? This is the kingdom of God. And this is what we got to grow in. I'm about out of time. Are you hearing something new? This is the word being rightly divided. Religion How many books have said we're the army of... That's not true. That's religion. That's why you got so many people fighting things that aren't happening. It says fight the good fight of faith. You got to fight to believe. That's where we need to be fighting, right? To believe. Not fighting things and circumstance and people. Make sense? All right. Come on up, Daryl. We're out of time.